Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you, so please send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. Today we celebrate the feast day of St. John Vianney, who is the patron saint of parish priests. The witness of St. John Vianney was one of humility and holiness, which transformed the spiritual life of his community and gave him the nickname the Cure of Ars. He is famously known for hearing confessions for over 12 hours a day and having a deep devotion to his vocation. He is a saint who deeply loved God and those entrusted to his care. With that being said, our question for today's show is this: how is St. John Vianney's life and legacy instructed for both priest and laity alike? Well, we are blessed because we are at the Cathedral of St. Paul in downtown Birmingham, Alabama, and he is one of our patron saints, and we have a beautiful statue of St. John Vianney, and I'm a convert, and I never heard of St. John Vianney until we came into Catholic land and then came into the cathedral where Father Basil made that presentation to us as a parish, and we had this beautiful, beautiful statue. So you would be blessed to understand this holy man of God, and especially today to ask him to pray for you. And you might, in honor of him, want to go to confession. Right?
For about 12 hours, you could be there if you want with the right priest.
A priest could.
But yeah, so please give us a call now. And if you have a special devotion, love for St. John Vianney, the Cure of Ars, please let us know. And I also want to know, of course, he's a patron saint of priests, but what does he mean to the laity? What does he mean in marriage and in the family? What does it mean for him to be in our households? And for us to ask for his prayers and to manifest, as he manifested, such powerful virtues for the sake of our families. We'll be right back. There's plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, the theme for today's show is, how is St. John Vianney's life and legacy instructive for both priests and laity alike? And for those of you who got to watch the morning mass this morning, Father Patrick shared about the three things that he recommended that people would read to deepen their own spiritual life. And one was The Imitation of Christ, The Lives of the Saints, and then the four Gospels. And if we, as a people of God, we would heed that and read The Lives of the Saints, The Imitation of Christ, and the four Gospels, I'm sure, too, that would transform our own spiritual lives. And then make it a habit to go to confession. So to give us more insight on St. John Vianney, we have a special guest on the phone with us today, and it's the very Reverend Kevin Basil, and he's from the Diocese of Birmingham. Father Basil, are you there?
Joy, how are you?
Well, I'm great, and better to hear your voice.
Thanks. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Father, it's great to have you here. What a privilege. We know your devotion and love for St. John Vianney. Couldn't think of a better person than you to come on. And you can go any direction you want with this great saint who you dearly love and have shared about for so many years. But, you know, I'm looking for kind of course, he's the patron saint of priests, but also, what does that mean for the laity? How does he connect, you know, with us? You just go right ahead, Father.
Sure. Quick story. You mentioned the statue we put in the cathedral several years ago. You know, St. John Vianney is the secondary patron of the Diocese of Birmingham. And we had those back-to-back years where we had the Jubilee of St. Paul, who's our primary patron, And then the next year was a year in honor of priests, in honor of the 150th anniversary of the death of St. John Vianney. We had a fundraiser at the parish, got that statue put in. When the masonry people came to put the statue in the church, it's really beautiful. They placed the statue. None of these people were Catholic. But the second they put that statue on the pedestal, there was this ray of blue light that shone from the back of the church in the stained glass window and hit right on that statue.
Oh, my God.
And those men said, God must have wanted him here. It was a really beautiful, beautiful moment.
Yes. What a beautiful sign. It's so appropriate as well, because I think, St. John Vianney was committed not only to his parish, the church, but he really was committed to the parish, wasn't he? I mean, to the whole city, whether you're Catholic or not. And that's the same kind of thing, the glory of the Lord shining upon, it seems, the glory of the Lord on that statue and reaching out to all people.
Yeah, I think, and again, looking at his life, maybe two aspects we can bring out. St. John Vianney was born in 1786, which was just 3 years before the French Revolution began.
Yes.
And during that time, it became illegal for priests to celebrate Mass unless they had taken an oath to the civil government of France. And many priests just wouldn't take it. Those priests that didn't take it, they were discovered, they were tortured or even guillotined. And St. John Vianney's family, of course, participated in underground, faithful Catholic Church masses that they would have in their own homes. This was the context of the first communion of St. John Vianney. You can think about a boy who was having to have Mass in his home. The family had put out these bales of hay in front of the house so no one would see their candles inside. The men were outside unloading these bales of hay while inside the Mass was taking place and St. John Vianney was receiving his first Holy Communion. A man so devoted to the Blessed Sacrament, and why? Because he had to fight for it from the time that he was born, from the time of his first communion, and knew what a privilege it was. One of the most famous sayings of St. John Vianney was, oh my God, what joy is a Christian's who, as he rises from the holy table, carries all of heaven in his heart. I think that his devotion to the Blessed Sacrament was born out of his own childhood experience of having to have these secret masses, even his first Holy Communion. So the Blessed Sacrament, extremely important to him. Secondly, maybe another aspect that's equally important is the role of the Blessed Mother in his life. St. John Vianney was actually a good man, a smart man, but he just did not have a proclivity for Latin. And so in seminary, he was almost not promoted to orders because they had to pull him out of his classes, teach him in French. And when it came time for him to be ordained, there was a big question about whether he should be ordained because he could not take his exams in Latin. And so they finally found a vicar general. I think it was the vicar general of Lyon, who knew of the renown of his piety, and he asks, John Vianney pious? Mm-hmm. Does he have a devotion to the Blessed Mother, and can he pray the Rosary? Mm. And that was his exit exam to be promoted to orders.
Wow.
And the vicar general said, if he's that pious and devoted to the Blessed Mother, the grace of God will take care of the rest. And St. John Vianney famously said, I love the Blessed Virgin. Even before I knew her, she was my first affection. St. John Vianney had written out all the names of his parishioners and placed them in that heart in the church in ours. We had the opportunity to do that at St. Paul's.
Yes.
Your names are in that heart around the statue of the Blessed Mother there. So if you look at his life, the Blessed Sacrament, the Blessed Mother, I think St. John Vianney teaches all of us, priests and laity alike, if we live between Jesus and Mary, it's the best place to be.
Yeah. Well, we're always so conscious, and it's such a blessing when we pass the Blessed Virgin Mary statue. We look at that heart, and we do say our names are in there. And that was such a beautiful thing that you did to personally write those down and wrap them up in such a way that it could fit into that heart that's there. That's kind of a little miracle in and of itself, the scroll that you must.
Right.
How did you do that? I mean,
well, you know, I had to write really tiny because the piece of paper could only be so big, and then I just tied it as tight as I could. And again, I think as a priest, it was one of the most beautiful things that God ever allowed me to do, was to imitate John Vianney and to consecrate all the parishioners in that way to the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Thank you so much, Father, for your precious sharing, your devotion to St. John Vianney, and your modeling in so many ways his love for the sacraments, his love for the church, his love for the whole parish, the whole city of Birmingham, as you love that city, as he loved ours. God bless you, Father. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Andre. God bless y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, how beautiful. I mean, Father was just a beautiful priest, and we had him for, I think, maybe 10 years at the cathedral. Yeah. And he taught us much. And the beautiful thing about St. John Vianney was his length of confession. And I noticed that even in our parish, that we had confession, and there were lines for confession, and Father would have confession, and people would line up, and I think that spirit is, even to this day at the cathedral, is still contagious there, that one of the beautiful things about being Catholic is that you and I have the opportunity to be as holy as we want to be. Because God is all calling us on this journey as pilgrims to holiness. And we can pray that St. John Vianney this day would pray for the Catholic Church, that God would raise up holy men of God to be good, holy Catholic priests. And one of the things, you know, as they celebrate communion, that it would not become a task to some, that it would be a privilege, and that they would participate in that and make the people of God hungry for the Eucharist as he was, and also to deepen the relationship with the Blessed Mother. You know, I'm a part of a beautiful group. It's an apostolate that prays for priests all over the world. And one of the things that Seven Sisters Apostolate. And in that beautiful thing, we pray for our priests to deepen their relationship with the Blessed Mother. And that is a beautiful thing. And to love and honor being a priest. And do they get weary? Do they get tired? Do they get physically sick? Yes, they do. They get emotionally drained, spiritually drained. And they need women and men to come up alongside of them and to lift up their arms and to pray for them, that they too would love being called and set apart to be a Catholic priest.
We have a comment here. As a Catholic father, I pray to St. John Vianney to keep my children safe from the evils of the world. He served as the cure of ours, fulfilling that mission in the 1800s, and he does so today from heaven. I especially dedicate my boys to him so that they may be ready for the call if it comes. Gerard from Facebook. And this, thank you so much, Gerard. This is moving into kind of the second part of our question. We love, we admire, he's the patron saint of priests. What does it mean to priests to have him? What it does in their lives? But the second part of the question is, what difference does he make to me as a father, as a mother, in relationship to my family? And I was reading an author that said, you know, maybe we should give, you know, St. John Vianney another title. Patron saint of the domestic church, patron saint of the domestic priesthood. See, because you're called, if you're a believer, you are a prophet and a priest and a king. And you don't have to be ordained a priest. You're already a priest through your baptism. Different kind of priesthood. You know, we're not celebrating Mass or hearing sacramental confessions and so on, but you are a priest. And so I ask you to be a priest in your home like St. John Vianney was to his church and to his parish, that you're doing that for your children, for your grandchildren, for your spouse, that you're giving yourself wholeheartedly, sacrificially, laying your life down hours on end per day, loving them, that they might be more fully enlightened and converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. So think of St. John Vianney as well as patron of the domestic priesthood.
Yes.
Mothers and fathers are priests in that sense, and we need to get on with that in our families and call on St. John Vianney to help anoint us to do that as he did that for his church and the parish, so we do to our marriages and our children. Plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, the Jubilee of Youth was celebrated in Rome this past weekend. And to give us her report on these wonderful events, we're going to go straight to Rome to hear from Joan Lewis. Joan?
Well, greetings, Jim and Joy. So what do you call an event, a 24-hour event, that in one place brings together the successor of Peter and 1 million young people from 146 different countries as they gather to celebrate the end of the Jubilee of Youth. Now, what do you call this event? Italy's broadcaster Rai Television called the Saturday pre-vigil a Catholic Woodstock. And of course, there were singers, dancers, musicians, other entertainers entertaining the youth in the afternoon until the Pope would arrive in the evening. The students have been arriving since early morning, some of them walking from Rome to the mammoth campus of Tor Vergata University. It's 500,000 square meters, equivalent to 70 football fields, amazingly enough. Now, the Pope, of course, arrived in early evening. He came by helicopter. The youth were ecstatic to see him. They cheered, they sang, they screamed, they waved banners. And shortly after, however, the tone of the gathering became more contemplative as Pope Leo answered some probing questions sent to him by young people. He answered in Italian, English, and Spanish. He talked about friendship, meeting Jesus, and about life's choices. He said, if you truly want to encounter the risen Lord, then listen to his word, which is the gospel of salvation. Reflect on your way of living and seek justice in order to build a more humane world. Serve the poor, and so bear witness to the good that we would always like to receive from our neighbors. Adore Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, the source of eternal life. Study, work, and love according to the example of Jesus, the good teacher who always walks with us. So, the vigil, there was time for prayer, reflection, witnessing, and of course, the big moment of lengthy Eucharistic adoration. And the silence of 1 million young people was absolutely palpable. Now, just on a sad note, earlier Saturday morning, Pope Leo met a group of young people from Egypt, and one of their members, 18-year-old Pascal Rafik, had died of a heart attack on the bus in which they were traveling, so a very sad event. Now Sunday, the Holy Father, of course, came back to Tor Vergata for the closing mass, arriving again by helicopter on one of the three helipads that had been set up at the site. He said to the youth, be best friends with Jesus. Aspire to great things, to holiness, wherever you are. Do not settle for less. Jesus, he said, is our hope, the one who awakens the desire to change the world through love, prayer, and courage. Like Blessed Carlo Acutis and Pier Giorgio Frassati, the two young men you know who will be canonized on September 7th. And then movingly, the Holy Father said, the Lord is gently knocking at the window of your soul. What beautiful words. By the way, to go back a bit, Friday at Rome's Circus Maximus, 200 confessionals, makeshift confessionals have been set up, and 1,000 priests heard confessions all day. And then, by the way, on an interesting note, in July, the city of Rome provided a huge chart with graphics about the organizational aspect of this Jubilee of Youth. And it called it the largest technological setup ever created for an event in Italy. Everything's been large, big, massive, wonderful, and happy. And on those words, back to you.
Large, big, massive, wonderful. Thank you, Joan. How we need that encouragement, how we need to see made manifest young people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, especially in our Catholic heritage with 1,000 priests or so there and hearing confession, the sacraments being poured out upon these young people. Oh, God, bring revival to young people. Bring renewal to your church, that generations yet unborn would grow to praise and bless the Lord. May it be so. Be sure to join us on Wednesday when we have Anastasia Northrup, the founder of the National Singles Conference, to speak with us about her upcoming conference and the challenges of being a single Catholic in today's world. Oh God, touch our youth. God, touch, manifest your love to all the single people. Dear God, renew marriage in our time. Give an appetite to young people to want to be wedded, to sacrifice their lives for another, and to be open to human life, to bring forth life, not to take life, but to bring forth life for the glory of God, that they would have dominion in the Lord over the world, be fruitful, be multiplying spiritually, physically, and bless the earth for the coming of the Lord. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Life, marriage, and the family will prevail in Jesus Christ. Bye now.